This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, a coalition calls for the resignation of New York City Police Department Commissioner Ray Kelly over anti-Islam film cover-up. But first, the New York City Police Department kills again over 1,000 in the Bronx protest. In 2011, at least 700,000, almost entirely African-American and Latinos in New York City, were subjected to the NYPD's unwarranted stop and frisk. Most recently, the mayor's and his police department's policies and practices resulted in the killing of an unarmed Rahmani Graham, 18 years old, in his own home, and the vicious beating of Jatake Reed and arrest on false charges. The discriminatory policies and practices are the catalyst for the frightening explosion in incarceration, and then for those dragnetted into the criminal justice system upon their release is the stigmatization and systematic disenfranchisement from virtually all opportunities and benefits of the society. This is the new Jim Crow.
We are going to find out what's happening now in the Bronx at the protest over the killing of the 18-year-old unarmed Rahmani Graham in his own house. And we're speaking with
Jose Nassau from the Stop and Frisk campaign.
Please tell us what's happening up there now.
Well, I mean, we just finished doing a rally to the 47th precinct. It was over. I mean, the crowd was incredible. As you could say, it was at least, close to 1,000 people out here together. And this community is very, very close together, which is good. And right now in front of the house of the Rahmani family, you could say there's like close to at least 200 people still here showing support and solidarity to the family, which they're very happy, but it's, very sad at the same time.
What is it that people are expressing? What are they feeling about the death of this young man?
Oh, there's been a lot of anger being expressed over here, especially there's been a lot of chant with police, KKK, a lot of chants that police are murderers, a lot of chants that police are hunting us down like animals, and that they declare hunting season on the blacks and Hispanics. So, everything has been directed towards the police in there, and they, illegal and unconstitutional ways and policies that they've been implementing upon, the minority race.
Are people also talking about the way in which the grandmother of young Mr. Graham was brought to the police precinct and held for hours without seeing her lawyer or anybody? Is that also part of the anger that the community is feeling?
Yes, people are disgusted of that. I mean, for them to take an elderly woman and hold her there and keep, and just keep asking her questions over and over, trying to have her say something other than what she seems, it's totally insane. I mean, people are very upset. The family is upset. I mean, it's incredible for them to have treated an elderly woman in that form of manner.
You know, Jose, you and I sat two Fridays ago, I believe it was, in a meeting about stop and frisk. And I know that you've been really working and organizing around this. What do you think the policing policies are that need to be eliminated that are responsible for the police killing of young Rahmani Graham?
When we started the Stop and Frisk campaign, it was October 21st, which was called into action by Carl Dix, and also Cornell Webb. We also had Deborah Sweet and Reverend Fell, many other activists there with us. And we called it into action because we didn't want something like this to happen. We did not want to see another Sean Bell happen. And we definitely didn't want to see another Rodney King happen. And to be honest, two of these incidents took place within the same week. We had a Rodney King incident, and then after that we had another Sean Bell incident, which is terrible.
And what's happening? Is the demonstration winding down now, or are people, you said there are about 400 people that are still there from the 1,000 that marched to the precinct. What happens now?
Well, people just standing around. I guess they're just waiting. The family's still here, standing on the porch. I'm standing here with them on the porch. And they're just here, and people just here, showing love and solidarity and support to the family. which at the time they really needed. And it's good. You're saying that a community came together to support a family in need, as you say, as the Rob Marley family.
And do they see a correlation, a relationship between what happened with Amadou Diallo? Do they see a relationship? You did mention Sean Bell. Do they see this as part of the kind of policing policies that we have that profile young black men and Latinos in particular?
You know, it's funny when now that you said that, the brother of Rob Marley spoke, and he kind of spoke about that. He kind of said, you know, it's time, and saying it's time for us to stand up and fight back and protect each other, you know, saying from all this killing that's taking place, especially in the hand of the police, you know. And he said, you know, that brothers from the past ain't been forgotten, and that, you know, that this struggle is a struggle that needs to continue.
And what's the next step? Where do people go from here? What plans are being made? How do people get involved in the movement?
Well, me speaking on behalf of Stop and Frisk, what we're doing, we are putting together a cop watch around here, which we're going to spend at least 3 days out of the week here, and doing some cop watch and kind of, you know, saying keep an eye on the police, just like they keep an eye on the rest of the, you know, of the community.
We can also say that the beating of young Rajik, which took place, a horrible, brutal beating, which people may have seen on the news on February 24th. We're going to ask people to come down and fill the courtroom again to protest that manifestation of police brutalization within our communities. Listen, when you said his brother spoke, how old's his brother?
I think he's like about a year older than Rob Marley.
Gee, that must be devastating. Just devastating.
Yeah, I mean, the whole family was devastated. And the good thing about all this, now that you mention Sadiq Reed, his father was here supporting this family as well. So
wow.
They came together, standing in solidarity, which is like a beautiful thing. And this is what we need, man. We need families that have experienced this type of chaotic situation in their life, to come together and support each other.
Jose, thank you for being up there. Stay strong and keep on persevering.
And thank you for granting me the opportunity to express, you know, saying what's taking place over here in solidarity.
And we've been speaking to Jose up at the protest, which you heard was 1,000 strong. And now there are still 400 neighborhood people that are there in support of the Graham family and against the policies that are victimizing, profiling, criminalizing our young black men, our young Latino men. Now, a coalition of civil liberties groups came to City Hall to call for the resignations of NYPD Commissioner Ray Kelly and Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown due to revelations, there weren't any revolutions
wishful
yet,
thinking.
that they covered up their roles in the production of an Islamophobic propaganda film, The Third Jihad, that was shown to at least 1,500 NYPD officers and to law enforcement around the country.
The Third Jihad was produced by the Clarion Fund, who had produced earlier anti-Muslim propaganda films distributed to millions of voters in the 2008 election. The Clarion Fund's previous documentary attacking Muslims has also attracted support from the casino magnate Sheldon Adelson, a major supporter of the ultra-conservative Zionist policies in Israel, who has also helped to reshape the Republican presidential primary by pouring millions of dollars into a super PAC that backs Newt Gingrich.
Now let's hear.
Kelly must go! Kelly must go!
Right now!
Kelly must go!
Now!
We're here to tell Commissioner Kelly and Chief NYPD spokesperson Paul Brown that they need to go. Enough is enough. I'm going to introduce to you Amina Akbar, an attorney and a representative of the Muslim American Civil Liberties Coalition, to lay out the demands of the coalition.
We're standing here together as a coalition of Muslim, interfaith, civil liberties, and communities of color groups. We're here calling for change. For many years now, there have been a number of revelations about the way that the NYPD is policing our communities. We've learned about the way that informants are surveilling and infiltrating our communities, about the demographics unit and the way that it's literally creating maps of Muslims all around the city. We know that the NYPD was responsible in 2007 for the radicalization report that tied together aspects of Muslim identity with potential for future terrorism. And we know that the NYPD showed the hateful propaganda anti-Muslim film, The Third Jihad, to 1,500 officers during its training. Not only did the NYPD show this film to 1,500 officers, but Commissioner Kelly participated in its making. But it doesn't stop there either, because Commissioner Kelly lied about his participation in the production of that film. And it was only after the producer of that film pointed out to the New York Times a specific date for that interview, Commissioner Kelly was in a corner so that he had to admit his participation in the film. The problems with the NYPD don't stop with Muslim communities. Our brothers and sisters in the African American Latino communities know all too well the problems with the NYPD. Stop and frisk rates are at an all-time high in New York City. All of this is happening on Commissioner Kelly's watch. So when we stand here calling for Commissioner Kelly's resignation, we're calling for Paul Brown's resignation. It's not just because of the recent revelations about their involvement with the Third Jihad. A number of actions that they've taken and the approach that their department has taken to policing our communities, to infiltrating them and to treating us like we're suspects when we're just living our lives day to day. We have been organizing around these issues for the last several years and beyond. Muslim communities, civil libertarians, and communities of colors and our allies more broadly. We're standing together here today to call for Commissioner Kelly's resignation, for the resignation of Paul Brown, to call on City Council to establish an independent community control and oversight mechanism, because we now know that the NYPD does not feel accountable to our communities. The NYPD functions in a very non-transparent way. That's not right in a democracy, and it's not right in this city. It's essential for City Council to institute an oversight mechanism for that to happen. Finally, we're calling for the retraining of the officers that watch the Third Jihad, but beyond that, to all the officers who have been trained in counterterrorism policing in this city, because we know from a long history that the approach that the NYPD is taking to policing these issues combines Muslim identity with potential for terrorism, and there's just no proof for that.
Kelly must go! Kelly must go!
Kelly must go!
Next, I have up Imam Al-Hajj Talib Abdul Rashid, the president of the Islamic Leadership Council of New York.
As-salamu alaykum. Just a few weeks ago, several imams of the Islamic Leadership Council joined an equal number of Muslim community service providers and activists in a boycott of Mayor Bloomberg's end-of-the-year annual interfaith breakfast. We could not, in all good conscience, ignore the fact that our faith community is in the midst of a civil liberties crisis. The disclosures this past summer by the Associated Press of warrantless wholesale surveillance of the New York Muslim community by agents of the NYPD under the command of Commissioner Raymond Kelly should be a concern for all New Yorkers. The police commissioner, backed by the mayor and local tabloids, have been smugly dismissive of various issues raised by us and others. There was the NYPD report on so-called homegrown terrorism about 4 years ago. We raised our concerns. They were smugly dismissed. We raised concerns about the warrantless wholesale surveillance of the Muslim community. Those concerns were smugly dismissed. We raised our concerns about the use of this bigoted, Islamophobic film, The Third Jihad, and those concerns, too, were smugly dismissed. Those of us who reside in the inner cities of New York have raised our concerns for years about the abuse of NYPD stop and frisk policies, and those concerns have been smugly dismissed. We now see irrefutable evidence of the validity of Muslim community concerns. Last weekend, the AP revealed that the CIA's top lawyer never approved sending a veteran agency officer to work with the NYPD in establishing spying programs directed towards Muslim American citizens. Thus, 38 years after the New York Times broke the news of CIA surveillance of Americans who were, at least in their eyes, guilty until proven innocent, we, the people, find ourselves facing the specter of a 21st century COINTELPRO, once again in the name of safety and security. I directly raised the question to Commissioner Kelly, asking him to clarify the use of the film The Third Jihad. He said that the NYPD had not used that film as a training tool, that the film was simply playing in the background prior to the beginning of a training session. It is now clear that either someone intentionally deceived Commissioner Kelly or Commissioner Kelly intentionally deceived us. The same mindset that can justify the use of a film like The Third Jihad for counterterrorism training, much less appearing in the film, is the same mindset that justifies the use of warrantless wholesale spying on the Muslim community. Therefore, the Islamic Leadership Council supports the call of the Muslim American Civil Liberties Coalition for resignations or dismissals and a city council investigation and instituting of an effective and meaningful community control and oversight mechanism and the retraining of police officers whose minds have been poisoned by that film and others like it. New Yorkers must not tolerate violation of civil liberties and profiling of communities based upon race, ethnicity, religion, or politics. Muslims, like every other American, are innocent until proven guilty, not the other way around.
Also, we have a letter that we can provide to the media dated March 7, 2011, written directly to the Muslim American Civil Liberties Coalition, signed by Commissioner Kelly himself, that says that the New York Police Department had nothing to do with this film and that it was in an inappropriate training material. So he basically denied to us months ago, as he continues to lie and deny to us again. I would like to introduce to you a city council member who's been a champion on demanding NYPD accountability, City Council Member Jumani Williams.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
I say that with great pride to be in a country and a city that can say that without supposed fear of retribution. And it concerns me that we're eroding that pride. I am asking for Paul Brown's resignation. There was too many instances where he has blatantly lied about what is going on with the NYPD. This is not the type of person that we need speaking on behalf of a, as the mayor called it, personal army, who we have trouble with accountability in the first place. I know firsthand of the misinformation, if you want to call it not lies, that Paul Brown can do. When the incident with myself and Kirsten John Foy happened, he immediately said that there was an officer punched in the face and that we were arrested for our own protection. I defied him to show the ghost puncher, which he hasn't. And if he would lie to me about me, there's no question about what he would lie about. This is not the first, second, or third time that this has happened. There's no excuse. And if the mayor and the commissioner will not hold him accountable, will not hold themselves accountable, then perhaps it's time for them to go as well. I'm happy that the mayor has agreed that the video should never have been shown. Lies were told and there has to be someone accountable. This is not one case of a bad apple. This is not one case of a bad thing that happened. This is not just one officer that's doing something wrong. There is a corrosive culture going through the NYPD that neither the mayor or the commissioner has what it takes to admit there's a problem.
Right.
This is not the leadership that we need. All I've been asking is for someone in this city who is in leadership to acknowledge the problem, because we cannot get to the fix of the problem if you won't acknowledge it. It's asinine every time we stand here to say that this is one problem, this is a second problem, this is a tenth problem, this is a corrosive culture that needs to be addressed. Again, I'm asking for the mayor and for the commissioner to acknowledge there was a problem within the NYPD, sit down with those of us who are working on this, and begin to figure out the best ways to fix this. The first thing that you can do is get rid of liar Paul Brown, because that is not helping the situation. And I'm telling you this now. We repeatedly ask for these conversations and acknowledgments. If you don't have it, you cannot blame a city who feels under siege with whatever way they have to react to get the respect that we deserve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Next up, I have Cyrus McGoldrick, Civil Rights Manager at CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights organization in the United States.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
These demands today have not been made lightly. This is the culmination of a year and a half of outreach on our part, a year and a half of callous dismissals on the part of NYPD leadership. The commissioner and deputy commissioner knowingly participated in the production of a hate film and lied about both their role and also the extensive use of the film in police training until a court battle forced them to admit that they're lying. This outrage is a violation of the honor of our city and those who protect it. But our three demands today are about correction and not retribution. One, the immediate resignation of Commissioner Kelly and Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown. Two, immediate corrective training for the almost 1,500 NYPD officers that are walking this city with poison in their brains. Three, immediate independent oversight over the police department. Seeing propaganda like this and being used in training is almost logical in light of Associated Press reports on the NYPD's program for comprehensive and warrantless surveillance of Muslim New Yorkers. We know that Muslims are only the target today. When the next minority group comes under attack, let's make sure that we still have some civil rights to protect them with.
That's right.
When the chief of the largest police force in the world finds it okay to lie to another minority group, let's make sure that there is a precedent to protect us from such corruption.
Yeah.
It is not about us versus law enforcement. We are the first to defend this city, and this is us helping law enforcement. It is about us making sure that they do their job well.
Kelly must go!
Kelly must go! Kelly must go!
Now!
Now!
I am speaking with
Abdeen Jabara.
And do you want to identify yourself?
I'm a civil rights attorney.
You actually said there were some things at the press conference that were not stated in reference to the film and the misrepresentations by Police Commissioner Kelly and Paul Brown. What were your major concerns?
This was a film that was part and parcel of a major Islamophobia campaign that has been initiated by right-wing forces in this country. This film was funded by Sheldon Adelson, the casino magnate, the principal backer of Gingrich in his presidential nomination. There was a glaring absence of any discussion about the money that is going into this Islamophobia campaign and how they were using the police department to help foster this by getting them to show this film to police officers. This is a old tactic that has been employed. The ADL did it back in the 80s and 90s as they attempted to develop intelligence relationships with various police departments around the country. Now we see this major Zionist effort directly tied to the right wing in Israel, the Likud party, that hopes to demonize Muslims and to create an ongoing divide between the West and the Muslim world. That is what was glaringly absent from today's press conference. The money that has gone into that film came directly from Sheldon Adelson. It was reported in the press. This is not a secret.
What's the problem with this film? What is that propaganda that Adelson is essentially funding?
He's funding the propaganda that the Muslims want to take over the world. They want to take over the West. They want to take over the White House. There's an image on there of the Capitol with a black flag of Al-Qaeda. What this film is doing is perpetrating all of these stereotypes that you hear on these talk radio shows and in Fox News and all the time. And you hear these politicians making these kinds of comments. And that is what is happening, is that there has been demonstrated that there are six foundations that are pouring millions of dollars into this Islamophobia campaign, and this film is part of it.
Is there a relationship between the Adelson and broader Zionist or Israeli PAC groups or propaganda groups?
Well, we don't know all of the interconnections, but I'm sure that this is not a one-off, so to speak. There's probably, if push comes to shove, we'll find that there's a concerted effort to do this, and we know that these foundations and different moneyed interests have been behind it.
What do you think should be done?
Expose it and denounce it. That's what should be done. So there's no place for this kind of hate propaganda in this country, to stirring up this. We've seen what's happened when groups are demonized in countries around the world and how this demonization can lead to dehumanization and hate crimes.
And I am speaking with?
Abdeen Jabara. I'm a civil rights attorney.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.